I am Ryan Feldman, Path to Manliness, with another exciting episode of the Path to Manliness podcast. I'm joined here with the latest author, Fury, whose new book is out today. And yeah, Fury, I'm happy to have you here, man. I'm happy to hear your story, hear about your book. And why don't you tell people about who you are and talk about your book a little bit, too.
Yeah, so I'm from the Netherlands. When I was younger, I didn't travel a lot or at all, you know. I did like trips with my family, you know, like across Europe. We do that a lot. But as I grow older, one of my friends, he's actually in the book. He's like a code name Tiger.
Yeah.
He loves to, he's actually wilder than me. He would be like a 5K or 10K account here, I swear, on Twitter. But he's like off social media and stuff. But we went to this other place called Budapest. It's in Hungary. And it was like a road trip. It was fun. It was pretty cool. But he showed a side to me that I never saw before, you know, like this wild and free, just living it up, you know, like traveling abroad.
That's so awesome, man. Yeah. And you go to Asia a lot too, like Thailand.
Yeah. So the same dude, he said, he actually made PowerPoint slides to convince me to go to Thailand because his job is a strategy consultant. They make tight slides of deck, you know, tighten the deck or something like that. Anyway, and then, but that PowerPoint presentation was given in 2015 or something, you know. I said, I can't do it, man. I have a thesis back then. I was graduating. I said, I don't have the feeling to go on holiday, you know.
Yeah.
And this year was like a big year for me, because I started the junior position as a construction engineer, a civil engineer. He said, you have no excuses now. Just take some days off. You have the cash. Let's go. And then, I went to Thailand. And it was crazy. It was just 2 weeks, but so many stories, you know. And that fueled me to actually start my nonfiction novel. It was worth telling.
Yeah, it's cool. So it's basically like you're telling your story of all the crazy, wild shit you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you, man.
And also, I try to, because, of course, social media doesn't give the full story. So you might get tidbits like I drink a lot of vodka or do multiple shots. I actually don't do that a lot. It's like on special occasions, you know. And then when I do something, I go totally ham, you know, I go crazy. And but the book is to show, like, I quote Hemingway a lot, like that he just went to Paris and he wrote A Movable Feast, it's called. It's like just a bundle of short stories, and he doesn't do anything except he goes into a bar, he just sits and he drinks, and he says there was a hot woman, or the bartenders are cool, or they were boxers and I know them, and it's just a story. But just because it's Hemingway, you know, I love him, you know, I love his style, he's a good writer, one of my favorite authors. But he didn't do, like, you know, he just lived, he drank, it was just Paris, you know.
Yeah, it's funny how overblown it gets with Hemingway, because people think that he drank all the time, and that's how he wrote, and that's what made him write. And I think people like want that to be the truth. So they're like, oh, I just gotta start drinking and I can write it and I'll be a better writer. And but there's no truth to that, and there's no truth that Hemingway actually did that. Like, he talks about all the time. So I mean, everyone gets kind of, I don't know, like, there's a term, I don't know if you know, it's called Flanderized. Like, there's a character in The Simpsons called Flanders, and if you yeah, so like, he's like that goofy, obnoxious neighbor. He's like incredibly Christian and says all these goofy things all the time. But if you go back in like season 2 or season 3 of The Simpsons, he's just like an average, normal dude who's goes to church. Like, he's not anywhere near what he became. But like, as the series went on, he became more of a cartoonish image of himself. And I think that happens. That happens with Hemingway. It definitely happens with me, where people think I'm like this ultra macho masculine guy just because of the name. And you know, like, I come across a way on Twitter a lot, but if you like listen to me on the podcast, I'm pretty average, pretty normal guy. You're not average, but I'm not.
I understand what you mean. Like, of course, you're a creator, so you're on the creator side. You're also a consumer. You love like reading what other guys do, but you're on the creator side. So people like, they love to pedestalize a little bit. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Especially as your follower count grows up. So, and I don't mind some of that, but like, people paint you into their own picture of what they want you to be. So they think that you're, you know, this ultra lifter, or this ultra runner, or maybe you get all these girls. Like, I get a lot of people ask me questions about how do I get girls and all this stuff. And like, honestly, they saw my notch count, they'd probably be disappointed because it's just never really something I pursued. You know, yeah. Not that I didn't go after girls, but I didn't like try to run up the number as high as I could. And I see the same thing with you. People paint you into a certain picture because they see, I mean, part of it's your fault. You know, you're always posting pictures of you at these crazy parties, you're smoking cigars and doing shots of vodka. And I think people think you do that every day.
Yeah. Like, I have to say, if I do it every day, I'd be dead really for sure right now. Like, yeah. I'd be dead.
So, but somebody tweeted that once. They go, this Fury is going to be the first to die when he's like under 25 or some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's one of my friends now. We talked on WhatsApp.
I think it was Niels.
Yeah, he even invited me to, like, he lives in Great Britain in the UK. Yeah. You know, go to a retreat or something. Like, he's one of my pals now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you were constantly going out drinking all the time, too. I just assumed social media paints that picture. But then I got to know you a little better. I'm like, oh, you're an engineer. You're not drinking every night.
No, it's not possible. You know, like, but I remember, let's say my follower account would be this big, like, 2 years ago. I was still studying. I was a little bit like Benjamin, you know?
Yeah.
If I would be Fury now, then I would be able to do all those crazy shit.
Yeah.
But I didn't even drink that much. Like, it's something new. Like, it's because of Thailand, actually, you know. The booze was so cheap, you know. I just like found it in the bag. You
know? I love the pictures, man. I was scrolling through a couple of them.
Yeah. I remember I just sent you like a blog for your website, you know.
Yeah.
I just added some pictures just because it was cool, man.
Yeah, dude. I normally don't do a lot of pictures on my blog, but yeah, it looks good. It looks awesome. I'm going to have to update that and then put your link in there. And we'll put it in the show notes down here. So if people want to buy your book, they'll buy it here.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So like, what's your like one liner? Like what's the book about? Why should people buy this book? Is it to know the real Fury or is it to know the crazy side of Fury?
This is something I debate a lot about with people on Twitter and in real life.
Yeah.
Actually, the book shows the reason why I'm now proud to hold the name, you know.
Before, really?
Maybe it could have been like people accuse me of LARPing or you make yourself bigger than you are.
Yeah.
But the book is just me. Like, the book is actually about me. I just go and eat and dinner and do crazy stuff on top of it. It's like a whole spectrum of my personality. And it's just me basically.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I've seen people say that. They think it's a character or whatever. I mean, we're all playing characters. Like, and I don't mean that like our Twitter personas. I mean, like, in real life. Like, everyone's putting on some sort of a, not necessarily an act, but, like, who are you? And you got to figure out who you are, and you constantly change. Like, I know if I could time travel 5 years into the future and then talk to my future self, like, I'd barely recognize him, and he would probably look down upon me. I hope so. Otherwise, you know, we're not growing, we're not changing, right?
Yeah, I used to have a line. I don't say this this often anymore, but I always say, I was really harsh. I'm sometimes really harsh on myself, I think. I said, when somebody shows me a picture of me in the past or something, or talks about me in the past,
yeah.
I say, don't talk about them. Don't talk about him. That guy's a loser.
Yeah.
Because now because you're farther, you must have done something. You can't go back, you know?
Right.
You have to go bigger, you know, bigger.
Yeah, I moved away from my hometown when I was, well, I guess when I was 18. So I went to college. So I went like not far away, but you know, 50 miles. But ever since, I just kept going farther and farther away. And you change, you know, as you go to these different places, and then you come back and you see your old friends. And you know, after a long time, it this becomes less of an issue. But for those first few years, people are like, oh, remember when you used to do this? Remember you were like this? They try to like paint you back in that corner. It's like, hey, remember you're this dumb jock or whatever? It's like, look, that was a long time ago, and I've left. I've gone kayaking. I'm into like shooting guns and shit now. Like, I've been doing some different stuff. Have you been doing the exact same shit since high school? Because that's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah.
But like, they try to hold you back. They want you to stay the way they remember you, because a lot of people don't change, and then when you change, it's like a reflection on their lack of change.
Yeah. That's sad, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I see that a lot on, not necessarily on that, but like I see people judge you a lot, I think. You know, you have issues with that? People, they think that you're this crazy guy, that you're always doing
like they judge me, right? Yeah. How did you know that? Like,
I can see it by the way you talk, you know, like you walk into a bar and you think people aren't, yeah, the story recently where you walk
in. Oh, yeah, the recent one that you found legend, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like Ryan, how do you say it forms me, you know, it forms me.
Yeah.
It, how do you say it does, like the way I write it sometimes, that story specifically, I write it in how it does get to me, you know, like, some tone back respectively, how he treats me, you know, AJ Cortez says, you have to treat people how they need to be treated, not how they deserve to be treated or something. How they need to be treated. I really like that quote. Like he made a adjustment on it.
Yeah, I like that.
Like also, what is it? Some people can view the emotions of Asian, their face better, you know?
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are more like stoic. Like you don't show as much emotion.
It's about how you don't express the, you know, the happiness or like the energy, you know?
But yeah.
Why I'm a little bit, not grieved or a little bit upset is like, there was a time when I was, I remember those days. There are a lot of photos of me where I'm pretty smiley and the same fury and really open, you know? I was like, hey man, what's up with anybody if you wanted that, you know? I had that going for a long time, you know, like you could talk to me on the street. It doesn't matter. I had that going. So it wouldn't be then, how do you say that contrasting to now that I'm a little bit more to myself, you know, pretty quiet. Yeah,
you're like more reserved, like kind of.
Yes, but that I've done, how do you say, as a reaction, because when I was the old self, like I remember it clearly. I just looked at the photo again today, like it was 2017. Just 2 years ago, they didn't respond to that. They thought, who's this clown, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I had too much energy or something, or it wasn't nuanced, or I don't, I don't use the, how do you say, the same lingo.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with Hollywood movies, so sometimes I sneak in a little English verb or word, or it doesn't sound like the typical, you know, Dutch boy or girl or...
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, America sneaks in everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, but yeah.
They do judge you on the way you talk, though. You know, I was talking about this the other day where, I forget where I was. I was somewhere where there's a lot of people that speak with like a southern, like an American southern accent where it's like hick, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes people think that you're stupid when you talk that way. And I, you know, I live in Tennessee, but I didn't grow up here. But since moving here, you know, like whenever I go back home, like up north, they make fun of like little accents I'm picking up. Like I can't say July correctly anymore. I go July because I don't know. That's how they say it down here. I don't even know they do it, but I picked up on these little things.
Yeah, I heard it actually. When you the first time you talked, I thought, didn't know Ryan was a little bit southern, you know?
Yeah, you pick up on, like, all the energy and the lingo, the places you live. But, yeah, I grew up where there was, like, absolutely no dialect, no accent. Okay. I've moved and I've picked up some twang a little bit from being down.
I like the twang and the drawl. Like, there's Alabama accent. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I lived down there for a while. Twitter. I've had some chats with him on, like, Instagram or something. And it's really cool to hear him talk. I said, dude, I really love your voice and the way he speaks, because he also tweets how he speaks, actually. The way he speaks.
He throws the y'all in there. I thought that was so dumb. I used to make fun of people, like, you sound like a dumbass saying it. But then they start using it. I'm like, it's super useful. It's way easier than saying you all or you guys or whatever bullshit. Then people get upset. Like, you can't say you guys, those are girls. I'm like, all right, y'all.
And you all sounds a little bit stupid. I don't know.
It does. What the hell is you all? What's even worse, some people go, when there's like a whole bunch of y'all, instead of that, it's all y'all.
I've never heard that one. I would use that one.
Hey, come to like a Walmart in Alabama, and I'll show you all y'all. But no, it's all good, man. So, does the Netherlands have any like weird lingo like that?
Oh, yeah. Like, what... I have always, like, what do you mean? like I live in Rotterdam. Like you have two big cities. You have Amsterdam and Rotterdam.
I've actually heard of Rotterdam. Yeah.
Yeah, Rotterdam is like if Amsterdam is the more touristy and more quaint, old school. Rotterdam is more modern. It has the skyscrapers, like the New York, you know. But here we are in the west. In the west of Rotterdam, we have like certain districts that have these slang, and it comes from the Surinamese people that live here. They're like the black people, you know. Colony, so, yeah. A slave colony that used to be in South America, the little country, and we have a lot of those people here in the Netherlands. But that language of them goes into rap, and rap forms the culture, and then you have the cool little
words.
Then it gets fun, you know. Like
I hear you, man. You know, living in America, people from Europe always come over and say it's amazing how much space we have. Like everything's so spaced out and far away, and everyone's got big houses, big yards, big cars, but I look at Europe and I see these pictures you take and I'm like, what a cool little block. Like you can walk to this little cafe and have a coffee, or you can go to that little bar over there or that little restaurant, and like everything's walking distance, and like you can live right down next to everything. And like, see, we miss that in America. Like every day we're driving everywhere, especially like where I live. Like I'm out in the country. Like I could walk, I can run for probably like 5 miles in any direction and not see a single business.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's houses and there's woods. That's it. And that's like pretty typical, I think, for most people. Some people live closer to cities.
What did you say, Ryan?
We don't like pass each other by, like walking on the street. We're always like in our cars and stuff. It's a different
world. About that though, like not that it's overrated, but everybody, even in dense populations, they walk past each other, you know. It's not
I hear you, man. No, I get you.
That's what I miss, actually, you know, like because I've gone to like travel hubs like Budapest or Thailand, you know, Bangkok. And if you just walk by each other and you can strike up a conversation really easy, like there's no barrier, you know, it's like, hey, where are you from or something? And you had Canadians, you had Austrians, it doesn't matter, you know, because you're all from all over the world to these special, I call it like magical places, and everybody's like really friendly. It's just for the moment. You can do with it whatever you want. You can go to a party after with each other or have a drink later or not, you know, like leave it. Go.
So, like, what's your favorite place to travel? Is it Bangkok? I see you in Thailand all the time.
those are old folks, but I really I like Bangkok, you know, like I like Central Europe. I like really? That because I went to Budapest, like those Hungary, and I went to Slovenia, you know.
Yeah,
those are cool places to go because those are like, they're getting more touristy because of like lonelyplanet.com. But like I met a lot of Americans, you know, when I went there. But those are really like, because it's cheap, you know, it's cheap. And these typical European stuff, you know.
It's beautiful out there, man. I want to go to Hungary. I want to go to Romania. Family's from Romania. I'm not sure where, because the city got wiped out by the Russians like 100 years ago.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, so it's just gone. It's actually why I'm an American. My great grandparents, they live in this little town in Russia, and I think it was called like the pogroms or something. I don't know. They're just wiping out all sorts of like different ethnicities and shit. And my family just kind of fled. They like got on some boat and like left as refugees and came to America in like 1910 or some shit. They landed in Maryland, and then this is kind of cool, but my grandpa like changed our name. Like he took a letter or two out of it just because he didn't like the way it was or something. My great grandpa. And then he came to Chicago, and that's where my family lived forever. It's kind of a weird story. So
I didn't know you were Romanian.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought I was Russian for a long time, but then my great grandma took all these like crazy notes and shit about our family history. Because like at one point there was like three generations of us all living in the same house, and there was a lot of beer brewing and a lot of root beer brewing. Like the family was like making their own drinks, and then there was like a mysterious business. But it was just whatever, you know. And then they it wasn't exactly like an established business. You know, it was just some guys doing stuff in the basement or whatever. But there was a mysterious explosion one day, and then the root beer and beer brewing stopped after that.
Mysterious explosion. Was it the competition or like an accident?
No, it was like an accident. Like they didn't know what they were doing, and the root beer, the beer still blew up. I don't know.
That's pretty cool. Like recently I've come to appreciate like the history of your family more, you know. I think as you get older, at least for me, like when I was younger, I didn't appreciate those things as much, I think.
Right.
But now I think about it sometimes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like talk that even stuff that you don't remember, like stuff like too far past, like there's a genetic memory where like if you're, you know, great grandpa who you never even met was always like nervous of a certain type of event or person, like that gets passed on genetically to people. So I don't know. I think it's interesting.
What's really funny about that, we have like anecdotes about my grandfather of my father's side.
Yeah.
Like he wears the same shirts like I do. Or yeah. And like one time I was just sitting and I have these like these old school glasses, you know, those a little bit like Ray-Bans, you know, the aviator style, but for like reading glasses. And I was just sitting and I look at this picture of my grandfather. I said, hey, he's wearing the same glasses as I do, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, like these small little things that apparently I have in common with my grandfather.
It's strange. Yeah, it's just that genetic memory. It's a strange thing. I don't know. I see it too with like mannerisms, the way you move, the way you put your hands somewhere, the way you like lean against things. Like I see it with my son, you know, I know part of it's imitation, but then like I've seen him do things that I know he's not seeing me do or say. I'm like, that's creepy, man.
You know, that's crazy. Because, about my grandfather again, like there's a way he sits, like it's like this or something, like really lean back. And when I was younger, my mom always said it was just like my dad, but apparently my dad got it from his dad. So it's like it must be something, you know, what you said, genetic memory.
That's cool. Definitely, it's really cool, man. All right, so. Why don't you share like a story from the book or something? Like what's a good story you can talk about in this book that's something funny or crazy or entertaining?
Okay. Like when you go out, you know?
Yeah.
You always have these people like vomiting on the street, you know? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like at one point I was on the islands, but I had to go back to Bangkok to catch my flight again. But I met this girl in Bangkok. So I decided to go back one day earlier, you know? So I had to leave my traveling partner, the Tiger, I had to leave him behind, you know? So I was on my own. So I traveled back on my own with the boat and the bus. And I sit in a bus for, I kid you not, like a whole day or something, like 8 or 10 hours.
He's passed out in the bus?
The thing was, I was pretty smashed. So it was perfect. Drunk. You know, like, it was like, I did nothing for like 8 or 10 hours in a bus. When people share stories about, I don't want to sit in a bus for 8 hours. Like my dad, he says, I'm not going to sit in a bus for 8 or 10 hours. You know, you can go to Europe anywhere, you know, with a bus or something, but I don't even remember it. Like it was perfectly fine. There was this girl beside me. She bought fruit. She offered it to me. She said like, you want fruit? I said, no, thank you. You know, blah, blah, blah. Perfectly fine. But anyway, the story is like, I come back with the bus in like around midnight, you know? And then I thought I was going to meet with the girl, but for some reason, you know, like miscommunication and her English was bad or it was my fault or whatever. She wasn't there, you know?
Yeah.
So, but here comes like a typical fury part. I always go like they say, like in the military, when you go somewhere you always have to plan your exfiltration first, you know, like in this case, like the exfiltration, I had no place to sleep. So I was with my luggage on the main street and I was just there, you know, like. And then I have come up with this strategy in the past. I'll just drink away the night.
There you go.
With my luggage or something to survive the night. And then I don't have to pay for someone to sleep, you know? But then I saw this hostel. So I think to myself, let me just check in there, you know? It was dirty cheap. So I just leave the luggage. But how do you say, I actually needed a rest, you know, because I had been drinking a lot. Oh, I even I lost the fight. There's this this Muay Thai fight I did. I got pretty smashed up by this Russian guy. I went down 2 to 3 times. The last time I don't even remember because like the ref had to stop it, you know.
It's like an actual fight, like a
an actual fight, yeah, match. Like a kickbox match. But the Russian, he smashed me because I had been on a bender for like a whole week. My reflexes were like no excuses there. But anyway, so I had like I needed to take a rest, but I have this thing when I'm on holiday. I have this like energy that just keeps me going, you know. I think I need to make more stories, you know.
Yeah, so trust me.
I sit outside. I'm just smoking, you know, like drinking, whatever. Then I think to myself, I'll just take a little stroll. And now comes the story, actually, about like a kid that's vomiting. I see these 4 Thai girls. One of them is screaming out loud, like inaudible sounds, like making weird sounds. One is really super chill. I remember that. One is making pictures, pictures of the whole scenario. Because one girl is like cradling this kid, this boy. It's like a tan boy.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, he had the spasms, you know, I recognize him. And he was like drooling, you know, and I know he had been drinking too much, you know. But this one girl was cradling the dude, like, you know, like holding him on his lap. And one girl was freaking out. But one girl was pretty chill, quiet. And one was taking pictures and was on her phone. Like, this like was some kind of happening. But then I thought to myself, you know, maybe something put me on this path to try to help this kid, you know, because I was dead sober for my sober, you know, and why I'm telling this story, I've been around the world. I went to Budapest twice, saved 2 drunk people there as well. I went to Slovenia, saved a drunk girl there as well. And so I thought, now, why not make it a 4th time, you know, like in Bangkok. Yeah. Like, you know, like John McClane, he says, the wrong guy at the wrong place at the wrong time or something.
Yeah, something I agree. Like
I think, yeah, maybe I'm the right guy at the right time, you know. So I walk to this guy and I check if he's able to talk. And he's slurring his words, you know, but he's still there. So, and what I found out, he's actually an American, but he's Thai and there's like something he's studying here or something. So he's like, he's a normal kid, you know, he just went on a bender. And, so the first thing I asked to the calm girl, because with the others you couldn't talk. They were like screaming and was utter chaos. You know, somebody has to be in a war. You have these officers. You know, they have to keep their cool. You know.
Yeah.
And like I had done this before, so I just say to the girl, "This your friend?" And then they said, "No, he's not their friend." So they actually were just 4 random Thai girls just having a party, and then saw. So. Then I think, what do? Then I talk to the kid. I say to him, do you have friends or something? And then he actually like this. This is what he does. The whole scenario. Like while I'm with him, he constantly tries to call these friends, but we find out they actually ditched him and they don't pick up their phone. Like that's what he said. Like that sucked, man. Like I was really pissed off at him, maybe, you know, because sometimes I go a little bit too far as well. I was maybe projecting a little bit on him, you know, like
the best of us.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, when I'm out with friends, I know I have to have people that have my back, you know. My friends,
yeah.
I like to believe that if I would call them, yo, I'm pretty fucked up, like, even if, like, if I'm in a foreign country, I would call them, they would pick up, you know, like, but they didn't pick up, you know.
Yeah,
and they actually, like, they went somewhere else to party or something. So they left him behind. So I thought to myself, what do I do now? And then, now comes the response for me. I said to him, have you vomited? He said no, or a little bit, you know, but he was like spinning a lot. You know, I know the symptom, like where you're like, you're spinning for no reason. And then I said, maybe you need to get the poison out. I know like all the steps, you know, so I said, you need to get the poison out. And then like every drunk person, I do not know why a drunk person says this. They say, no. And then I said, dude, shut the fuck up. You're going to get the poison out. And then he said, and then I said to one girl, I gave like orders because there's like on the whole street, there's like really dirty, cheap 7-Eleven. You know 7-Eleven? They have them in Thailand on any street.
Yeah, convenience store.
Any street, you have 3 7-Elevens. If you don't have a 7-Eleven on the street, it's not a Bangkok street, you know? I saw a guy with a tattoo on his arm said 7-Eleven is life.
What the fuck?
I swear, 7-Eleven is life. Like, that's in the book. Like,
that's a drug tattoo. Anyways,
yeah, it's like a drug tattoo. But I say to one of the girls, I think maybe like the one who was taking photos and chilling on her phone, to get water. So she goes away and yeah, so she gets water. Then I say to the kid, like, I forgot what his name was. I actually, like I built rapport with him, you know? Like, in hostage negotiation, you have to ask the name.
That's smart.
Dude, what's your name? I kept asking his name, kept talking about American stuff, you know? Like, where are you from, blah, blah, blah. His English was really good. Like, he was just an American, but also Thai, something there, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, then I said, you have to vomit. And he said, I don't know how to do it, like. Some people don't know how to do it, you know? And me and my tiger friend have come up with this technique. You have to put your two fingers in and then you have to wiggle, you know? Because some people only do like this motion and it doesn't work, but you have to like wiggle, you know? So I actually teach him like the technique. I'm really like really professional, you know, really responsible. And he goes in the corner, he does it and it works, like he vomits, you know? To my surprise, not a lot is coming out. So, like, I looked at the vomit, you know, like, I'm not a professional or anything, but what it means, he probably vomited already, or, like, his body is actually taking the poison, or it's not that bad, you know? I really felt, usually girls, they revolve, you know, like, repulse.
They revolve, yeah. They think it's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these girls not. Because Thai girls are the best drinkers in the world. They'd be like, oh, okay, this is normal, you know? Like, so that was great. And then the final part, like I say to the kid, like, what are you going to do now? You know, where do you sleep? And then he gives me like a pass where he sleeps. And I asked the Thai girl, where is this? And she says, oh, that's a really nice neighborhood. It's like condos, you know, condominiums, really fancy. Yeah. And then the second part, I say to the dude, you have money? And what I really liked about this kid, this line is like in the book, he constantly said, I have all the money in the world. I'm rich. Help me. I have money. He had a lot of like credit cards, but not cash, you know?
Yeah. Said,
you know, I have money. Money is not an issue. Money, like, he constantly kept checking his phone, constantly kept shouting that he was rich, that he was American. Not saying, you know, I'm American, I'm rich, but where he was from, constantly repeating his name, you know? Then I say to the girl, you know, this is what we're going to do. Gonna hail a cab, just sit your ass and just leave his ass, you know? And then comes like the freaky part. That girl says to me, no, we can't do that. I'm pretty heartless, you know, like I helped this kid, but my night needs to go on. It was early, you know, I had to do shit, you know, like just dump him in the cab, I think. I said, dump him in the cab. She says, no, we can't do that. I said, why not? She says, I don't trust Thai people. I said, you're Thai. Then she said, yeah, but you can't just throw him in the cab. Then I thought, yeah, fuck me. Because if you do that, they'll rob his ass clean, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
especially if you're shot, you're rich.
Yeah. And so, yeah, especially because he was going to say that he's rich. Yeah. So then the final part, I come up with this idea, the hostel that I checked in, you know? I'll just take him there, you know? So I said, this is what we're going to do. Like the hostel, it was just 1 minute walk. I say to him, yo, we're almost there, man. I'm going to take you to the hostel where I'm sleeping. You're just going to book a room and all is going to be fine. So he chugged the water, you know. I said, chug the whole thing. And funny enough, like when you're drunk, you don't want to chug water. Yeah. Maybe like some self, it's like a self-deprecating mood you're in. You just want to feel filthy and dirty or something. You don't want to recover. I don't know what the fuck it is, but always when you give somebody water, even me, like, no, I don't want water. Yeah. Anyway, like he chugs the water, and then the girls, there was a little bit strange. They want to stick with him or something because they felt attached to him or something. But then I said, no, I need to fix this now. He needs to come with me and needs to sleep it off. You're gonna come with me or not, you know? And so I said, you can just go, you know, because there's like a transference of burden or something, you know, like because if they leave, it's not on me, you know. I said, no, it's good. I got him, you know. Like I have done this before actually, and then I actually said this. I've done this before, you know. I need to get a medal for this somewhere, you know, karma points. And I also had like this attitude that I'm like maybe projecting feelings on this kid, you know, like a little bit mad at him and constantly saying, dude, you have to pick your friends better. I kept repeating that as well. But then the stoic girl, like the calm girl, she came to me. She paused and she said, you're a good man. He said, "You're a good man."
You're a good man, Fury.
I said, like, yeah, maybe, you know, like, I'm not going to take that. I said, but I actually said, we've all been there, you know, and, like, I tried to help him, you know.
Yeah, man.
And then she goes away, you know, it's over. And then I thought I have to be, how do you say, uplifting to this kid. I say, hey, dude, you're American, you know, show me some spirit. We're almost there, you know. I call him a Yankee. Let's say stuff like hua. I don't know what the fuck I said, you know, like, come on. And then he actually said, dude, shut the fuck up. It's not helping. I was trying to encourage him, you know, because he was stumbling as he walked. I had to, yeah. I said, can you walk? And he said, yeah, I can walk. Then he kept, you know, like on the curb. I tried to hold his, he said, no, let go of me. Then I said, dude, shut the fuck up then, you know, like you're telling me you don't need my help. And then what I really like, he also kept saying, thank you so much. The whole evening he was saying that, thank you so much, intermittently. And then one of the famous lady boys of the street, like they work the street, you know, I recognized her. At one point, me and Tiger recognized the regulars. And he always said, like, work hard, man. They work hard. I saw her all day. Or he. And I recognized this one because the haircut or something. I recognized this one, you know, one of the regulars.
He's out there hustling.
Hustling, yeah. Like, it's the office, you know, like making business. Yeah. But these people have no fucking shame, Ryan. Like, I swear to you, like, this guy. He was, you know, out of this world, and she come to this, and because I don't, how do you say, I wasn't holding his hand or anything, you know, so he was a little bit like half a meter away from me, you know, and we were just walking on the street, but it's like, I call it like a pandemonium, the street, it's like people rob you, or you can fight, you can do not safe for work stuff, you can do anything on the street, you know, like, it doesn't matter. So the thing is, this lady boy, she comes to him, and she has no shame, she says, hey handsome, hey sexy, or something like that. And then I just I shield the guy, and I look at this woman or this guy, and I say to her, like, I just say one thing, I say no, but as I just say one word, no, because I had this tone, I developed it specifically for Thailand, that you have to be very aggressive in 1 second to, like, stay the fuck away from me, you know, like, be salesmen, like hookers, ladyboys, because if they touch you, they can, how do you say, like pickpocket you, and it's annoying, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I say no, and this person sees how I am able to, like, flip the switch. Like, that's why they call me the Fury, because I sometimes look really angry, you know. So, and she just goes away, and she's like, "Why you have to be like mean?" I in my head, I thought, you're shameless, because this guy, he probably even wouldn't be able to fuck, you know. And then the funniest thing happened, like, this American kid, Ryan, you know what he constantly kept saying? Please don't let me have sex. I don't want to fuck. Please just think, I just want to sleep. No lady boys. Please take me home. And that's also in the book. Like, I really wanted to laugh at that moment, because there was so funny in that moment. But then I had to keep a straight face, you know? And then we walked to this hostel, and this woman, like, it's the most normal thing in the world. She says, hello, blah, blah. And she sees this drunk fuck kid, you know, and he's constantly saying, take my money. And then she says, do you have ID? I said, dude, do you have ID? You know, like, processing for all the, you know, like, the basic stuff. And it's all good. And then he goes up in the room, and he constantly kept saying, thank you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, that's it.
Yeah, so you saved him from getting robbed and, you know, fucked by a lady boy. You're a good man, Fury. No, that's crazy, man. No, I know what you mean. I was those downtown cities, sometimes they get a little, I don't know, it's just a lot of people, and most of them are good, but yeah, there's always a few idiots out there trying to rob you and shit. So I was just in Chicago recently, and people act like Chicago's a dangerous place if you've never been there, but it's a great city, man. It's like the best city in the world. I love it. But you know, the certain places you go, you just got to kind of, like, pay a little bit more attention. You know, hey, just watch your wallet. Somebody bumps into you, just check your wallet real quick. You know, they'll grab your phone. You know, but it's pretty nice overall. But they got the same thing. They don't have the lady boys. There's a couple areas maybe. But they they got guys, like, always, like, hustling, trying to sell their CD and shit, and trying to scalp tickets for Cubs games and stuff. And it's like, you can't trust any of these guys, you know. And while they're doing that, there's some girl walking by, is, like, wearing nothing, trying to get you at the strip club with her, and the whole time, like, is anybody brushing past me, anybody trying to swipe my wallet and shit.
One place, Ryan, like a tip for anybody listening to the podcast, one place you should never put your wallet is the back pocket.
Yeah, I was in my front pocket.
But not the fucking back pocket. Because I used to, like, I like sleight of hand. Not anymore, I don't have any time. But like pickpocket magic, you know, like. And I watched this one video that if you put it in a back pocket, the pickpocket only has to do this on the wallet. Mm-hmm. And you walk forwards and your energy just propels the wallet out of your back pocket. While in the other spots, they have to like actually have to make effort, you know, they have to try to steal it, you know, like they have to put their finger in or like touch you, whatever. But there, they just have to like do this and you walk forward and the wallet's gone, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and then they'll bump into you, so it's distracting, so you don't notice somebody, like, you know, lightly touching your butt as, you know, they're brushing past you with their shoulder or whatever, or some cute girl is talking to you and you're distracted and all that shit. So, yeah. Yeah, you ever been pickpocketed before?
When I was younger, I was pickpocketed once. I had this small phone, and it was in, like, a trainer's pants, you know, like a jogging, like a sweatpants.
Yeah.
Those are really
smooth. They're too loose. Yeah,
you know, I was at the fair, at this fair, and I was sitting, and I saw these boys. But that back then, I didn't have the radar or the sense that I have now, or to or like to repel people, like go the fuck away from me. I was just this kid, you know.
Yeah.
And this like little Moroccan boys, they are the thieves here. You can edit it out or whatever, but they're like the
That's in there. We don't edit.
Like, it doesn't matter, but like you have like in my neighborhood you have like these thugs, you know, like the Moroccans, the Turkish, and some kind of thugs.
Yeah,
it's usually them, not always, you know. I don't want to be that guy, but usually.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was at this fair, and they how do you say, they talk to me, they chat me up, but one is distracting me, and one just one touch. I remember that one touch, and it was gone. Luckily for me, the phone was really old, and as he walked away, he looked at the phone and he just threw it away. I ran after them. I want to confront them. You're like, dude, why did you do that? You know, and they ran away, you know, and then.
Yeah. No, I've had that happen before. Same kind of deals. They were like sweatpants or some shit, or track pants or whatever, and it was just too loose. And actually, I'm not even sure if I got pickpocketed. I think maybe it was like just falling out. Then I noticed it right away. But like by the time I saw it, my cash was gone. But fuck it. At least I got my cards. Like, I didn't care. I think I lost like $100, $120. That's no big deal. It's easier.
Yeah. But did you lose cards as well? Like cards?
Nah, they left those. Yeah, so I was like, I got away, okay. Fuck it.
Yeah, like the cards, like then you have to, how do you say, like cancel them, block them.
Yeah, well, it's funny because like nowadays, like hardly anybody carries cash on them anymore. So a lot of these thieves are going digital. Like they're trying to steal like online from all that kind of shit. So I had somebody hack my eBay account once about 2 years ago. And like, I don't really use eBay much, but like I'll buy little things here and there. Like, I think the most expensive thing I've ever bought on eBay was probably under $50. And so this one day I look on my PayPal account and I notice like $700 goes missing. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I look through my transactions and somebody bought an iPad on my account and then ships it to some other place, which was actually like freakishly close. Like I had this thought, I'm like, I should just fucking go to this guy's house. I'm like, nah, nothing's good's gonna happen in rural Alabama if I just show up some like podunk little house. Guy's stealing shit. But here's the fucked up part, right? So it goes through my credit card, and I call the credit card company up thinking like, hey, no big deal. I just explain what happens and they'll take care of it like they always do. But I get this one like moron, and you know, it's one of those outsourced deals. Like, I don't know what country the guy was from, but like he was having a little bit of an English barrier with me and didn't understand common sense either. So I'm like, hey man, somebody, you know, swiped my digital account, and they ordered this credit card or they ordered this iPad. Can you just take it off my account? And he's like, no, you ordered that. I go, well, okay, first off, it didn't go to my address. So why do you think I ordered this? Second off, look at my transaction history. This is like way different than anything I buy. I should flag this. And he's like, no, you're going to have to pay for that. I go, no, I'm not going to. Not only that, I'm not going to pay the rest of my account because you're just letting all this bullshit go. So call your higher up and let them know I'm not paying the $1,500 I owe you until this gets resolved. You know, I just hang up. Like 12 minutes later, some like really soft-spoken, nice like guy comes up and he's like, "Hi, how you doing, sir? Just I heard this little bit of a dispute on your credit card, and after some further review, we can tell very clearly this is not you." I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Like a little common sense, man.
Yeah. A lot of the things happen now digitally, man. I'm a little bit, how do you say, reluctant for these things, you know, because it's a new age and a lot of sneaky methods and shit, but
it's clever. Yeah. They get clever and shit. I got a buddy who works on what they call asset protection at Walmart, right? So basically he's like an undercover cop for Walmart. And you know, I won't go into like too many details about what he does, but like he sees these people doing all these like clever ways to steal shit, like things I would never even think of. You know, like they'll do something like they'll take the barcode off of like a hamburger patty for like, you know, for like two hamburger patties, and then they'll put it on the hamburger patty that has like 16 of them.
So, yeah, that's fucking smart. Yeah.
The first time I heard that, I'm like, God damn it, dude. I never would have even thought to do this, but these guys are too dumb to make money or like outthinking me on this shit.
Yeah. They're like, because the hustle mindset is different, you know?
Yeah. It's like, man, that's a good use. You got some clever ideas.
Like, that's what I like on Twitter. Sometimes you have these hustle accounts. Like, okay, like Chris Johnson has this whole dispute now, but one of his friends, I think his name is Ace or something, Ace Time Zone, one of his friends. And he always has like these cool little like tweets where he says, you want to make $10 now, order shoes and sell them online for like double the price because they're like limited edition.
Yeah.
Or flip this. Yeah. And it's like, if you're dead broke and you see this tweet, you know, you cannot go and not think, I have to take action, I have to do one of these things and make 50. You have to. Let's say you're like poor, broke. Man, you would need to do that. You know?
I wish I would have ran into that shit when I was younger. Like Coach Joe Hart, he does that stuff too. Like, because like now I'm like, I can make okay money on my own. But like looking back when I was in college and I was like scraping by and like a few bucks here and there was like a big deal. You know, and we did a little shit like that. Occasionally could like flip a ticket or something, but sell some things on eBay, but we weren't making much money, you know.
No.
I don't know how I did, but I was like living on like, you know, like outside of like my typical expenses, I had like $20 a week on cash, and somehow that would like get me drunk and fed through the week. And stuff. I don't know what the fuck you do back then, but you do hustle a little bit. He said there's some kind of beef or something with Chris Johnson. I've been out of the loop. What's going on there?
I think like the beef is what is it? He used to work. He and Keanu of Ridge Market.
Yeah.
Like Keanu's the Air Force guy. I'm not sure. I'm not like a specialist on Johnson. But he worked with this woman, and he was putting smack on the timeline that she changed the PayPal or Spotify account number or something. So she was stealing money or something.
Oh, so like but embezzling.
He was saying that she was an employee and already got a salary, and there was something off.
Yeah.
But then now Johnson is in the shit is because this woman also has a Twitter account, of course, and she dumped this whole story of how Chris was treating her bad, and like there was also like a romance involved, and he's like a misogynist because he treated her bad. Yeah, I make this tone. Yeah, maybe he like, you know, like when relationships go bad and business, it's like
yeah. I'm always, you hear all these stories and stuff, especially with like athletes or people that are wealthy, and Chris Johnson would certainly fall into that category. I'm always a little wary of people that come out. There's always somebody that comes after you, like trying to, you know, they want their payday. So I'm out of the loop. I don't know the story. I'm just curious.
it was a, how do you say, like a gossip story. You know, we could just watch As the World Turns for Bold and the Beautiful. It's just the same.
You say, you know, it's crazy. He's got his account locked right now.
Account is blocked.
Not blocked. He's got his account locked, like where he can't he can't retweet him and stuff. He can't, I don't think he can DM him. Yeah, that's crazy, man. I don't know. He's I don't know him at all, really. I follow him, and he's got some like really clever business ideas. I think he's really interesting.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. Like something like the basics of how to, let's say, become rich. I sometimes quote Chris Johnson, you know, like, like I think, well, how do I know this? And I must have read it from Chris Johnson, you know? I always quote this tweet of his, work a steady job, 9 to 5, have side hustle. A side hustle takes over main job, put money in the index funds. Index funds, like a real estate, and then quit your job or something, you know? Like,
Well, that's one of the secrets. So, yeah, so that's the best part. You get into like one of these podcasts and you can somehow make it through the first hour or so. That's when you get to the good shit. So you know, here's the deal. Everyone makes a little bit of money, but then the problem is you fall into that materialist trap where it's like, I'm making an extra $300 a month. I'm gonna go blow it on, you know, hookers and crack or whatever the fuck, you know, whatever, Red Bull vodkas and a nice watch or a video game or whatever, you know, or, you know, you could, instead of doing that, you could say, hey, I'm gonna take this $300, maybe create something more interesting. Maybe create my own Shopify, my logo, or throw it into the stock market and shit. I mean, you start throwing a little bit of money into things like when you're young, and it's crazy. Like, I used to be obsessed with the idea of like diversifying my revenue streams, you know?
Yes.
Like I make good money with my own like couple gigs, but I was getting nervous about like losing my biggest income stream. I'm like, what am I going to do if I lost this, or what if I lost my job or whatever? And then you start building these little things. Like, you've got a good one now. You got this book. And I don't know if you believe in it yet or not, but like, believe it or not, you start promoting that shit and you start making money. I mean, I released my Reclaim Your Manhood book almost a year ago. It still sells like kind of steady. I would say the best month I ever had was probably April, you know, like several months after it came out, it's still like moving a lot of copies. And then it's a $5 ebook and a $10 paperback. I'm not getting rich off of it, but every month, you know, a decent little chunk of cash goes into my account. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I do like the feeling, Ryan.
Like
Avtoy Tep, you know, like my Russian friend on Twitter, he said, we were like discussing lately, like, how do you be happy, you know? Because you can have a woman, a love, or, you know, but you always say you need to be happy for yourself. We've been hearing that a lot, you know, but it's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard, you know. So we have been saying you have to make this thing for yourself, you know, like where you can put your energy in, you know. Yeah. But I hadn't really been feeling it. It was like an empty planet. I can say it, you know, but I thought, what the fuck do I know, you know? Until the day before yesterday, I released my book. I was like ecstatic, you know. I said to Garrett, holy shit, you know, thank you for your help. Like some people buy it immediately, you know, and they're sending me like messages. And I think like, holy shit, like I'm actually making money of this, you know, like. And yeah, but then, as you said, like you use the money, like $300 or something, and then you put it forward, you know?
Yeah, man.
Just keep going, you know. And I already have a second book coming. It's a short story.
Yeah, that's good, man. Like it's weird. Once you I didn't realize this, but for a while I just wanted to write a book. I'm like, I just want to write one book. I don't even care if it sells. I just want to write a book. And then I got done with it, and it was like disappointing. I'm like, I want to write more, you know, and I had this empty void. Like, I was kind of enjoying this, like, you know, constantly having to write and build this project. And then the project's gone. I'm like, ah, shit, I miss it. I had the same thing with when I go running. You know, I had this half marathon planned, and I was like working my ass off to go run this half marathon. And then I got done, and I felt great about myself. And then like the next morning, I'm like, I need another race. You know, I need to do another one. So the day before, I'm like, fuck half marathons. I don't know what I was thinking. It's the last few miles. I'm just like, why am I even doing this? And the next day, I'm like, where's the next half marathon? Or should I do a marathon? And I'm talking to Garrett at Liber_Rex, talking about doing like an ultra marathon. You know, it just becomes an addiction. Yeah.
It is. Like, it reminds me of this one line of David Goggins, you know, the SEAL, the ultra marathon runner.
Oh, yeah.
He says, my life doesn't have a finish line. Every time I cross the finish line, I'm already thinking what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people have that, you know, you in a certain sense, me in a certain sense. We're not David Goggins, of course, but like Garrett has it. You're thinking like, what the fuck am I going to do now? You're just sitting there and thinking, I'm going to write a new book. I swear, like, I was like celebrating my book and I was thinking, I need to write another one now, you know?
Yeah. I grew up around a lot of people that were like incredibly wealthy, like to the point where at 40 or so they could retire. And I remember asking like almost every one of them as like a 19, 20 year old kid. I'm like, why do you work? Like, didn't you make enough money to retire? And then every single one of them goes, yeah, but what the fuck am I going to do then? Just, I can't golf all day long, you know? Like, I'm going to sit at home and, you know, just do nothing. You get bored. Joe Rogan talks about this too. And this is where it really clicked for me. They're talking about like retirement, because he's also really wealthy. And he goes, what am I going to do? Like, go drink margaritas on the island? He's like, that's not a retirement plan. It's a fucking poster. You know, how long are you going to sit on the beach drinking margaritas before you're like, all right, now I'm just an alcoholic. I'm bored. What do I do next? So you got to get that next thing going. Yeah.
That, I like that line, man. That's not a retirement plan. That's a fucking poster.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people have it made up in their mind. They were like, I just can't wait till I've got so much in the bank. Like, everyone's got a number, right? To me, it was like $10 million at one point. Now it's probably more like 4.5. I'm getting a little bit more modest from what I want. Where you're like I'm going to stop working at this level. And, you know, then I started thinking about that. I'm like, what am I going to do? Just sit on the beach? That doesn't sound fun to me.
I was thinking about that lately as well. Like I had this talk with this guy at work, and it was non-spoken, but not that the work was swamping us, but we had this vibe that the work wasn't where we want it to be, you know, like not what it
was supposed meaningful.
To be. The pay isn't big enough, you know, like the 9-to-5 grind. We had this look. And then he said to me, like, Kevin, what are you going to do all day? Lie in a hang mat, you know, on the island or something? And I wanted to say yes, because, you know, I've been to Thailand, you know. I was just chilling on the beach. But I can remember, after a few days, it becomes boring. You have to keep doing
something. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I would say, like, if I had the money I could set aside, I'd probably be doing a lot of the same stuff I'm already doing, you know. Like, I'd still be writing. Still be working on the blog, still be putting out books. The one thing I would do that I can't do right now is I'm not quite there yet. And most of it's not even money. A lot of it's more that I have kids and I can't take them everywhere. But I would travel around the country. Like, I'd like to do like a Spartan race or a half marathon, like in every state of America. There's one in Iceland. I think that'd
be cool. By the way, like now that we're talking about that, like now that we're talking about like retirement plans and stuff, you know, like, I'm like a huge Jack Reacher fan.
Yeah.
And everything I know about America, like even the vast distances, comes out of Jack Reacher books, you know?
I've seen the movies. I got the first book, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. That's cool. No, but
so that's what you think of as America?
No, but what I want to say, like a retirement plan, you know, like I would love to like one day like roam the big continent, you know, just do nothing. Yeah. Put a shirt on my back, do nothing. Well,
what's crazy about America, I mean, it's like Europe where it's so big and it's so different. Like, you can go to Florida, that's a weird, crazy redneck place. Then you can go to Oregon. It's like, this feels like a completely different country. Like, how do these people even get along? And the secret is,
So that's I have this, I don't want to call it a dream because dreams don't have a timeline, you know, but one of my goals, you know, one day.
I just, you know, come over and just, you know, make a trip and make a weekend out of it or a week out of it or whatever. Come check out some cool places. There's a million places to go. Last week, I drove like all over the stupid ass country. I was in 5 states in like 5 days. That's good shit. Went and saw a couple of baseball games. Went and saw the Cubbies. Did a bunch of crazy shit. So, but that's why I was kind of absent from Twitter for the last week or so. It's kind of, it's good, man. I get addicted to this shit. My girlfriend makes fun of me all the time. I enjoy it. And it's not just like consuming mindless tweets. It's also like reading shit and talking to people. But I took like a week off. Like, I did not. I tweeted a little bit, but I was barely looking at it.
That's good, man, Ryan. And I really, how do you say, Chance was doing it as well. He said, guys, I'm going to be less active on it. And the reason, like, I had been, how do you say, feeling the need to take a step back as well. I took a step back. Like, some people said, hey, Fury, come healthy. Back, blah, blah. Yeah, but then I thought, finish the book. That was my goal. Like, in my tweet, if you read it, it says, like, the pre-buyers were my motivation. Like, in April, I put it out. And actually, 6 people thought, hey, I want to read this. And I thought, just for them, you know, just for them.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Like, a lot of people say, like, how do you write a book? How do you finish it? All this shit. And it's hard. But the problem is you never finish a book. It's never perfect. You're never happy with it. So you got to set that deadline. It's like, all right, it's coming out this day. But I don't know. It could be better, but I'm gonna put it out there. But then you get it out there, like, people start responding to you. They're like, hey, man, you did a great book. I'm like, oh, good. At least somebody liked it because I wasn't ready. I didn't like it yet.
Yeah, it's like, that's an artist thing. Like, there are some actors, they never watch their own movies. Do you know that? Like, what's his name? Tom Hanks has never watched one of his own movies.
That's insane. I've heard that before about different actors. That's crazy, though. But
it's like an artist thing. Like, I used to have this drawer friend.
Yeah.
He says, once it's done, he doesn't want to look at it anymore, you know? Like,
I get that. Even worse than that, though, like, wait till you write your next book. You're going to look back at the first one. You're like, man, I wrote what I didn't know. You know?
What did you say, Ryan? I didn't catch that.
When you write your second book, you're gonna look back at the first one and you're gonna be like, man, I thought I liked it back then, but now I look back at it, it's like I could have done so much better. I do the same blog posts, and I was talking about this with some other writers, and they're like, you just gotta leave it up there. You gotta leave it up there. Like, I know you wanna change it, I know you wanna delete it, you just gotta leave it up there though. What I like about doing that is people will they'll see like the finished product. You know, a lot of people are like, hey man, your website is amazing. How'd you do that? Like, well, it wasn't amazing. It was very basic. It was very simple. Yeah. There's probably some issues with
it. You told me that.
Then it got better. Then I tweaked it a little bit. And a year later, you got this great product. And everyone sees the finished product. They don't see all the work that goes into it.
Yes. So. That's like the one of not the diseases of society, but like always the end result. You know, yeah. They always see the project, but they don't see the hours or like, you know, and now they're like coming back a little bit to like feminine behavior. I'm not going to say all women are like this, but
I see
tweet, yeah, like with the red pill thing that I've been hearing a lot is like women only, what is it? Only fuck the winners at the finish line or something, you know?
Women don't run the marathon, they just wait the finish line to fuck the winners.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. It's true though. I don't mind.
She doesn't care that you lift weights. She cares that you have muscle. She doesn't care. Yeah.
Yeah. They know what they want. Like, women want a protector, you know? I don't mind when women do that or when women want that. Like, some guys are upset. They're like, oh, women are so superficial. They only want the big, strong men. It's like, well, you know the solution to your problem then. Start going to the gym. Like, you're just being lazy. You're not whining because you think it's morally wrong for them to choose those kind of guys. You're whining because you're too lazy to put in the work effort.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that. You know, like the end result. You know.
Yeah, for real.
And a lot of people. Oh, now that we're talking about that, like harkening back to like my writing, what people don't know about me, like I do say it from time to time. I have been imagining or like fantasizing to write a book for 10 years. It's 2019. In 2009 or 2010, I was constantly thinking, am I good enough? I was reading Hemingway, The Sun Also Rises, his first book, and The Great Gatsby. You know, I was just reading, I think, can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? You know, who is allowing me, you know? Because also like writers have this thing that somebody has to say to you, yes, you're a writer. You have a mill about that, one of your mills. It's a beautiful mill. Like, stop saying I'm an aspiring writer, right? No, you're a writer. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, either you're a writer or you're not. You're not an aspiring writer. Better than you,
or your vocabulary is less, you know, my vocabulary is less than Huntsman, you know? But everybody is a writer if you want to be a writer. Yeah. You know, go write your fucking shit, you know?
Yeah, there's a progression to it too. Because a lot of people are like, oh, a book's a big progress. And how do you get to a book? Well, you're tweeting, right? You're writing. Just they're little ones now. Just start putting those together, make them a little bit bigger. You got a thread. It's pretty close to a blog post. Start writing blog posts. All right, make those a little bit longer. Now you got chapters. Put a few of those together. You got a book. I mean, if you're writing, you should have a blog. I think WordPress is free. I don't really know how WordPress works. I use Squarespace because I think it's better. But everyone,
which one is better? You say, Ryan, WordPress or Squarespace?
I like Squarespace better. They do a few things. I think first off, it makes you a little bit more professional. Like WordPress just feels like somebody is like goofing around with the blog. Nothing against it. Just I think it looks nicer. And then they optimize it in some ways. It makes it a little faster. Yeah. It costs a little bit more money. But you start going after it for a year or so, there's no reason you can't be making more money than it costs. Like, I don't know what I spend on my website, but it's like it's not $1,000 a year. It's less than that, like significantly less than that. And it makes way more than it costs. And it's only been up for a year. And I was looking at this the other day, the traffic that I got coming in, it's a straight line going up for this year. Like every single month, it's like perfectly straight. Like I'm getting significant more growth. And it's not a huge amount yet, but it's growing. Yeah. And the secret is, and what most people don't realize is when you start out, it's slow, but then it starts building. And it takes a few months for you to really catch on. But man, if you stick with something, it really does grow. You know, I've been doing this for a year. That's it. That's all it takes. But I did it consistently. You know, I did a piss poor job this month of writing. But every single month, aside from this month, I put up like about 4 blog posts every single month.
Yeah. No, yeah. How do you say it? Like people want the secret hack or the cheat. I do love how you broke it down like how do you eat an elephant, right?
Cut it in
pieces. You just said it. Like, tweet, thread, blog post, chapter, yep. Book.
Yeah, that's it. I talked about it a little bit in the book I just wrote with Paul Dominic about writing. That was a weird one. So that book started out, I was going to write a book about how to start writing, because people ask me all the time. Like, I kept trying to write out an answer, and I'm like, I can't answer this quickly. I kind of did with that little tweet, thread, blog post. That's a good answer to it, but people wanted more. So I started making it longer. I was going to make a blog, and it just got too long. I'm like, fuck, this is going to be an ebook. I guess I'll just put it up and sell it. And people started pre-ordering it, like, a lot, and I wasn't really pushing it. And then Paul Dominic jumped on it. It kind of turned into like a neat little project. It became a really cool, really good.
Yeah. I really like it, because Paul Dominic, when I first met him on the Twitter environment, he had been planning about writing a book, but he didn't have anything yet. So I really like that it's part of him as well, you know?
He's become like a friend. I talk to him a lot. But we had this idea, and one thing that was kind of neat to watch with him was it was like the spark click, because he kept doing that thing where he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm like, we'll just do it. And now he's like starting to like push out shit a lot more common. He's got some cool ideas. He's also really young. I think he's like 22 or something. So
he's young. He's younger than me.
I wish I was like that motivated and that directed when I was 22. I fell into the trap when I was 22 where I'm like, someday I'll be more, you know, prepared to do stuff. But like, I kept thinking like, well, later, but, like, I need more education. I need more experience. Cause people tell you that a lot. Like, you need to put in the years, you need to put in the efforts. Fuck that. Just start doing stuff. And if you're 22 and you fuck up, no one's going to judge you. Especially not like 5 years later.
No, I respect the young ones on Twitter that I see. Yeah. Like, sometimes they're a little bit how I think now, that I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Like the young ones, like Paul Dominic, they're probably thinking, I need to do more and blah, blah. But they're doing a lot, man. I see them.
A lot.
When I was 22, I was just watching like anime. I like anime, but I was doing it like, as a hobby, like, you know?
Yeah. I was like playing pickup games of basketball and video games and drinking all the time and shit. So I kept thinking, when I get older. Yeah. That's why I wrote that book, Reclaiming Manhood. It's a couple of things, and one thing is meant to be, this is the more selfless part, is it's a guide for young men to like get through their 20s and be more productive and look better about it. The selfish part of it was like, I made a lot of mistakes through my 20s, and not so much like things I did wrong, but things I didn't do. There's a lot of that I didn't do that I look back on and regret. And by writing it, it's kind of like how I put myself at peace. Like, all right, here's what I should have done. Write about it. It's out there in the world. Whatever. I'm good. But at the same time, you know,
tying into that, like Ryan, what you said, like that feeling.
Yeah.
I think maybe a lot, or if not all, accounts on Twitter have that.
Yeah.
I wish I had done more. I see it a lot. Like, it's for some, it's stronger in regret. For some, it's more, they've come to deal with it more, you know? But I see it in a lot of tweets, like the emotion behind it, you know? You can tell somebody is saying, hey, do this now, person that's reading this, because I didn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's actually the reason why my moniker is called Fury, actually. Most people don't know that. Like, it's like a gimmick, or like, this guy's constantly angry. But I am like, now you see me happy and stuff, like smiling. But I'm constantly like, in my head, you know? Like really like angry, furious, like I didn't do enough, you know, and I have to pay the price for it now, actually, with some things, you know.
We all do. I get that. You just, you know, you can't go back and change things. You do what you can going forward, but you know, it helps like inspire other people, like, hey, this is what you should have. Here's what I wish I would have done when I was younger. I wish I would have started a retirement fund. Actually, I did that one. I was pretty good about that, but I didn't do a lot. I could have more, but I did some. But I mean, when you're in your 20s, man, like just throwing a little bit of money into like a retirement fund is huge. And I'm not licensed to say this, so this is educational advice. But like, you know, just start throwing your money into the stock market. I think guys should start playing around with that a little bit and just assume that you may make mistakes and you may lose some money. But it's a good thing to learn when you're young and you can afford to lose it. And if you don't even want to mess with it, there's something called the Vanguard Total Stock Averaging Fund. I think it's VTSAX. So if you go on like an E-Trade account or something, look up VTSAX. What it is, it's it's a compilation or whatever of every single company in the stock market. I think it's the S&P 500. Maybe it's the Dow Jones, but I forget. Anyway, this thing, on the average, over the last 120 years, has returned 8%. Now, it's not 8% every year. Sometimes it goes down. But over the course of all that time, 8%, I mean, if you can make 8% on your money, that's massive. It's way better than just sticking it in a bank account.
Yeah, if you stick it in a bank account, nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Yeah, so how's this work? I think it's the law of 72, so every 9 years. So 72 divided by 8 equals 9. Every 9 years, that money should double. So you put $1,000 in when you're 20 and just leave it in there and let it go at 8%. By the time you're 29, it'll be $2,000.
Yeah.
Imagine if you keep the consistency, keep doing it every month or something, man.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been good talk, Fury.
Yeah.
It's been fun getting to know you, man. And
yeah.
I'm a fan of your book. I like all the crazy stories and shit you got in there. It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to, how do you say, doing more stuff with you, man. Like, I really appreciate it.
Definitely.
And also, what I remember, by the way, a lot of the other people don't know this, but before I was, on the inside, I talked to you as one of the first.
Yeah.
I was just, how do you say, just on the Twitter, and I just talked to you about random stuff. I don't know, if I scroll up, I'll see it, but it was just your support, very, how do you say, your energy. What's up, man? Yo, what are you doing? Very supportive. I really like that.
I try to be approachable. It's getting tougher as my account's gotten bigger because I get a lot of people. I don't mind the DMs, and I'll respond to almost everybody's response, but depends on people act. Sometimes they come in and they just immediately throw the problem at you, and it's like, all right, I don't know if I want to help you or not. I don't know who you are, but other times it's like, hey, I like what you've done. I appreciate what you're doing. All right, cool. Talk like a person. Don't talk like, hey, here's my problem, fix it.
because
your problem, I'm looking at my PayPal at you.
Yeah, because you're an authority now, right? You're not the manliness. They don't see that you're the person Ryan told me.
Well, and here's the big thing is, and this is where I think I'm one of the better authorities, is if you come to me with a problem and I don't know how to fix it, I'll tell you. I'm like, look, man, this is out of my lane, all right?
Yeah.
I'll let somebody else handle this one. Talk to this guy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if I don't know what the hell you're talking about, hey, ask somebody else. I'm not going to help you.
But the DMs can be pretty crazy. Sometimes, people think I'm a cigar expert. I do know a little bit more about it than the regular Joe down the street, my run of the mill. But sometimes the way they talk, it's really funny. I'm not shitting on these people, but
right.
I really like when they say, hey Fury, massive fanboy over here. They start with that. I don't like, I'm just a person. You can just say, hey, I like your work or whatever,
Yeah, I don't know how they pump your ego up. That doesn't bother me at all. No, yeah. The best ones are the ones that I really like is when they say, hey, this specific thing, this line that you wrote, this tweet or this part of the book, this really changed me, Sometimes I say things, I'm bad at this. I'll just start talking and I'll say something really profound once in a while and it's just gone. I don't appreciate that I said it. But then somebody else will come back to me like, hey, I love that you said this. I'm like, when the fuck did I say that? I'm writing it down. I gotta remember this one.
I saw your eyes lit up when I said, you're not an aspiring writer, you're a writer from your meal. I really like that. I was
a
worker. Ryan was right, I saw you light up about that. Yeah. It makes, how do you say, you think you're not maybe doing enough work or something, but then you just put it out there and someone says, hey, I read that and it helped me. And then had use.
You were the first person I told that to. And it was one of those things I kind of just said, and I kind of forgot about it. And then over time, that's a good line. I've used it with a couple other people too. And they all have the same response. They're like, huh, I didn't think about that. It's something a lot of us struggle with. They call it imposter syndrome. We still don't think we're good enough. I constantly struggle with it all the time. All sorts of shit. I go to the gym and I look at some of these monsters. The place I go is all these firemen in there. It's all they do is lift, And I look at these guys, God damn it, man. I gotta get in here more often, But then there's other guys that probably look at me and think the same thing.
It's always
a bigger fish.
Always the grass is always greener.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, lately I haven't really been that much of a lifter. I've been doing some stuff, but I've been doing more running and shit too, so.
Yeah. How tall are you, Ryan?
I hate to say this, but I'm not 6 foot tall, so people get disappointed. I'm only like 5'10".
5'10".
Yeah. So I'm not like that huge, but I make up for it by going to the gym a lot. I'm like 105.
I thought tall, you know, like most American, like because I'm 5'10". Yeah, right. Is how many centimeters?
Wait. Oh fuck! Let's look this up. I don't know. It's
because I'm on the smaller side as well, so I don't look like I lift. You know, like
let's see, 5'10" and centimeters.
I'm flexing on your podcast right now.
178 centimeters.
Oh no! Yeah. Oh, you're 8 centimeters longer than me.
No? Oh shit! You're on the small side.
I am on the small side. I'm 5'7" or something.
Gotcha, man. Yeah. Okay, so that's not much. Centimeters are tiny. I forget how. Yeah. Okay. Thank God for Google. Yeah, I don't know. That's another thing I hear like people complain about all the time. Like, oh, girls like what guys are over 6 feet tall or whatever. I'm like, look. Yeah, maybe. I think on online dating especially because it's like really obvious. But like this is like never been a problem for me. I've never had some girl being like, "Look, you're really cute, but I wish you were taller or whatever." They don't care.
Like even dated one girl that really care about you, they don't care about.
They don't. I even dated a girl once that was taller than me, you know. She didn't care. It didn't bother her.
I wanted to say that like I used to know a girl, a Slovenian. Mm-hmm. I talk about her a lot in other podcasts as well. she was taller than me, like almost like a head taller, you know.
Yeah,
it was funny. She always teased me about my height, but it's not one of I maybe have a lot of insecurities, or people don't think that I'm insecure, but my height is never one, because I'm short, you know. And she was like, haha, you're short. I'm like, okay, but go away then. Don't
Exactly. Well, and you said it right there. It's the insecurity. Girls don't mind that you're not tall enough or whatever. They mind when you're insecure about it, and they can just sense it. Like when you're worried that you're not tall enough, then they can tell. But like,
yeah, they have sixth sense for those shit. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's really crazy how they do it. It's like when it's that same mindset where like you're desperately trying to get a girl, and you've been like alone for a while, and you can't meet anyone.
Yeah.
And like, no one wants anything to do with you. But as soon as you get a girlfriend, you're comfortable and you don't give a shit anymore. All of a sudden, they all come knocking. It's like, damn, man, where are you? Where were y'all when I was single?
Yeah. It's just, that's the whole mindset. Yeah. What we talked about that finish line thing and wanting and not wanting. I don't know. I'm still, just here for the timeline, you know, if people think I'm some kind of like alpaca guru, you know, like it's not true. You know, I'm still dealing with all this.
I still don't get the alpaca thing. I don't know how it's lasted as long as it has.
No, like, I think Benjamin created this, like, in the atmosphere to, like, as a satire to alpha, you know?
You know, yeah, the alpaca versus beluga instead of alpha versus beta or whatever. So, I don't know if you noticed, but he got suspended from Twitter for a week or something like that.
Me?
Oh, Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. He said so in the DMs. He said, like, because he used the word faggot.
And it wasn't even like to some random, it was like to a friend.
Yeah, it was like a discourse. It was a discourse. Yeah. He said, I got cocky, don't get cocky. I like, that's, I thought I was doing well, but I got cocky, man.
It happens to everybody. When I was, I think I still got a blog post on it on my website somewhere, but I got suspended long time ago. Like,
about that, by the way, Ryan, like sometimes most people don't know this about me, but I have said once before that there's a chance that because I don't have a good filter, people say I'm very unfiltered and like direct. There's a chance that one day I may maybe like banned or something or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes, how do you say, like a secret Santa's helper says, "Hey, dude, you can't say that." I get like a direct message, "Dude, you can't say that."
Yeah.
So, but. I try to cope with that. Like, I try to think about, like, my Twitter strategy. You know, I can't prevent, like, what's going to happen in the future. But I've come to terms with, I assume, what I think, if I, like, make a new account or something, that the people that knew me, they'll follow me again, you know? Like, all the friends.
I've been having fun watching Chris Johnson, because he got banned, and then he made another account. And, like, he almost instantly had 5,000 followers. But it's still not where it was. So you lose the chunk. But I think you get it's not about the follower counts, but the people. You get the right people to follow you right away.
Do
you have an email list, Fury?
It's in my how do you say it? It's in my bio. But I haven't. It's like maybe 18 people, 20 people, or something.
You should. that's a good way to get people to follow you if you like get suspended. Like that's the secret to like how some of these big accounts can like instantly come right back. Because if you got this good email following, those are the people that really like you. So not only will they follow you, but they're the ones that are going to retweet you and shit. So I don't know.
I was thinking about sending out too many emails to you.
Yeah, you send out an email like once in a, every once in a while. Just shoot some bullshit out. You know, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is funny. Hey, my new book's out. You should definitely do it about your book. You can put like a chapter in there maybe. You give people a little excerpt about it. Yeah, and then just, you know, once a day or so, just say, hey, my newsletter's free. Come check it out. You know, I talk about mine all the time, and every once in a while, I got 10,000 followers, but every once in a while, some people are like, hey, you're getting a little spammy with this email list thing. I'm like, so what? Scroll past it. It's not a big deal. I don't care. Yeah. One guy unfollowed me. He goes, hey, you're pimping your email too much. Unfollowed. I'm like, fine. Don't care. You don't need to announce you're unfollowing. If you announce you're unfollowing me, I'm just going to block you. Yeah, just unfollow me. I don't care.
And they want attention for that, you know?
I got some guy right now. I shouldn't even say this. I'm not going to say his name, though. And he found something on my website, I think. I'm not really sure because I don't recognize it. And he goes, why are you talking about this Nazi ideology? Okay. And I'm like, my what now? So I look at it, and it's talking about some Norse mythology stuff. There's a part where they talk about maybe the Aryan race coming from India into Europe. And I don't even say that it happened. I just say that there's a theory about this, what happened. And my point is that some of these symbols that you see in Europe and Asia are the same.
Like the swastika, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't even talking about the swastika. Excuse me. But like some of these like symbols are the same. I think it's interesting because I've gotten really obsessed with like Graham Hancock and this idea that there may have been this like ancient seafaring race of people that went like all across the world. And I find that interesting. And then This Norse mythology stuff is very much like a pro-white thing, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But some people hear that and they're like, well, that's anti-black. I'm like, well, hold on. If that's true, then is a pro-black thing anti-white? Is it? Like, why can't you be proud of where you came from? Don't do that. And like, I just immediately blocked the guy. But then he like hit me up again on some like alt. And I'm like, look, man, just chill out, dude. They try to like drag you down. They try to create some bullshit.
Yeah, like one of my lows or something was when I actually realized I made it big, because there was this like this account who was like a beaver, like an alt, you know. He was like an anon, but he always retweeted my shit. It doesn't matter what it was, not even like a something great, you know, just like a tweet.
Everything, yeah.
I recognized the picture every time, you know. I see notification, hey, that beaver dude again. Then one day I was in Brussels with Aftoitet in Belgium. And that's when I became too big for him or something. He started just calling me names, just insulting. Look at that, at this guy's chin. You think he's the shit. Like, look at him smoking his cigar, blah, blah. And then I thought, dude, you were my friend. Like that, more like, dude, you were supporting me this whole time.
He's got some insecurities. He's got to work out.
Yeah, and then I thought, whatever. Ever since that guy, I'm not going to even debate anymore. Like, block. Block.
Yeah, the block button's useful. Some people are like, oh, I won. He blocked me. It's like, you didn't win. Like, you're just not in the world anymore. We don't care.
You don't exist in my mind anymore. I don't even know if you won. Like,
it's just too much noise otherwise. The reason I block is so I can spend more time and attention on people that actually matter. There's people that I want to talk to. You know, and some of these people just become noise. I got to the point now, I don't do debates anymore. Like, if there's something really interesting, somebody's really smart, I'll talk. Yes. I'll have a conversation. I'd rather do it like this. Like, I challenged somebody once, they wouldn't do it. But I wanted to have a talk like this about this argument we had, and this person wouldn't do it. But like, I don't like doing the Twitter thread thing. You know, like, they'll say something, and like, I might give one response, and then they'll counter back like, "Well, you have to defend this." I'm like, no, and I just walk away. Like, I made my case, all right. Like, you don't have to win every argument.
It comes to me now. You talked about the Avengers movie, and that you don't like Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Yeah, but I saw your style, like somebody said something and you just said, no, I don't like her. Period. Yeah. You know? And I saw, I just like that. And I said, yeah, I'm not feeling it at all. But I saw you didn't go further, you know? And I like that. You know?
That's the way to do it. So I went and watched the movie. I don't like the character, but the movie's okay. Like, I wouldn't say it's great, but I mean, as far as all the Marvel movies, it's not the worst one. There's a couple I don't like more than that one. But there's a line in that movie.
I haven't watched Captain Marvel, the solo movie, by the way, but go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. There's a line they use in the movie. It's this, I think she gets into like a bar fight or something. And this guy looks at her and she's like a military pilot or something. He goes, yeah. You know why they call it the cockpit, don't you? And I'm like, all right, that's a decent line for all the pro-female power crowd. But they use it like two or three times. It's like, come on, like enough. Like, get over yourselves.
You know why the cockpit.
So I don't know. I got bored one time. I think I was doing an ionosphere actually when I did this, but I bought the domain to CaptainMarvelSucks.com.
Yeah.
So if you type that in and hit enter, it goes to my website.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's cool. You linked it.
Yeah, it's like redirects to my site.
I like that. You make it, how do you say, your dislikes or your likes, you're making it all come together. You know?
Yeah, so some asshole dude's probably like, Captain Marvel sucks. And I enter it. I'm like, what is this thing?
Yeah. And yeah, there's a chance. Hey, this is actually cool. I like it.
Yeah, maybe. I get a lot of weird people. I don't know how some people find me. A lot of them are coming through search engines now. So I'm getting good.
Oh, yeah, like you said, you hold one of the, in the group, you said you hold a big one.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest ones I own is, it's a quote from Fight Club. It's, we're a generation of men raised by women. Like, I'm on the front page of that. I'm getting up there too. It's like number three. It's weird.
That's fucking cool. I like that.
SEO is really cool. It sounds like something that like you're not meant to understand, but once you start like getting into it, it makes a lot of sense. There's definitely some luck to it though. Like I've had things where I'm like, this is going to be a big hit. And like, it won't rank. Sometimes it's just there's too much competition, but yeah, if you tried a few things, you can get there. That's a good way to get traffic to your site.
Yeah. Thanks for the tip, Ryan. I think I have to maybe like think about the mail and the blog. I have been thinking like about my strategy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I do feel it's not that I'm worried about that. That I don't have my own voice or anything, but I feel like the mail list is so oversaturated.
It's not. You think that, but it's not. Because everyone's different. So think about what I'm doing, right? Path to Manliness. Like, that's oversaturated. Like, I would not recommend anybody going to that niche. There's a shitload of people doing it already. I mean, look, you got Brett McKay, Art of Manliness. You got, Hunter Drew with the Family Alpha. There's a million guys. All those red pill guys, I guess, are kind of in it. There's a million people trying to do what I'm trying to do. I think what works for me is that I've got my own unique flavor of it.
Yes.
I can't think of your competitor. Like, I don't know who I would say Fury is like, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So your mail list will work because it's unique. It's you. So, and people are going to like you or they're not, and that's okay. You start asking people to join your list, just like every day, just say, hey, my email list is free. And put it on like the tweets that blow up. You have a tweet that has like 20 retweets. Fuck it. Just put your link at the bottom of it. People will sign up.
Yeah.
Because I had 100 at the beginning of the year, and it wasn't really growing that fast. And now it's growing by like, I don't know, 40, 50 people a month, something like that. It's over 600. I haven't looked at it in a while. It's grown fast.
Yeah. I'll keep it. I'll put in the work.
Yeah. I mean, if you like it, if you like to write, emails is the best way. And then you don't have to worry about getting banned. That's where you can say the fun shit, man. You can say faggot all you want in your emails. Poor Benjamin. There's certain words you can't say anymore. So that's one I guess we can't say anymore. Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, you know, like to retard something is to make things go slower. But then there's like the slang of that, which, you know, no one should really say anyway, I guess. I think that's the next word they're going to go after.
Retard.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to be able to say that one.
Ooh.
It's kind of funny because like there's like a clothing company called Fucked, F-U-C-T, and they're allowed to promote it like it's a normal word, like it's kitty. Yeah. But they just like want it. But like you can't say other words. It's getting confusing. Like, all right, so curse words are good, but certain words aren't. It's which one is it? So I don't know. It's strange.
Because it's strange on times. Twitter, what was it like? Huntsman alerted us. Like you have these child molesting, pedophilia, child love. They are allowed. What is that?
I don't know. I gotta stay away from that shit. Cause like I remember like when the Pizzagate thing was a big deal. I was like looking into it. I'm like, this is messed up stuff. And like, I can obsess over it and say how wrong it is, or I can just ignore it and move on with my day. And sometimes at the end of the day, you just got to focus on making your own life better and worrying about people that are making other
lives. That's what I'm doing as well, you know, like trying to make my life better. And if I think somebody has something use for the things I have to say, then I'll put it out. I'll just, you know, stay away from the negative shit, you know, like.
Yeah, man. Let's end it on that. I like that. So this guy that was in Bangkok that you saved, you know, you helped him out. That's the safe life, man. If you can do one or two of those in your whole lifetime, just like help out one or two guys, like for real, like that. And then like throughout your typical day, like just little things like, hey, here's a way you can make a little bit of money on the side. Here's a way where you can get in better shape. Like little tiny things that make people's lives better. At the end of the day, you feel pretty good about yourself and you'll be happy. That's the real secret. Yeah, man. You got any closing thoughts?
No, I really liked the conversation.
I think. Yeah, it was fun, man.
I finally have the chance to talk to you, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, that's why I do this. I got some things I do that make money. This isn't one of them. It may make me some money indirectly. And I think I do get some affiliate commissions through it, but like as far as like play accounts, it's not high enough to make a lot of money. Yeah. But especially not like for the time put in, but I really enjoy talking to people like you. That's why I do it, because it gives me a chance to talk. And if you think back, or if you go back and listen to it, the first like I don't know 45 minutes to an hour, like it's a good conversation. But the second half of this, like the second 45 minutes to an hour, were like significantly better. And that's what's cool about having some of these like longer podcasts. So you get into a better flow with people, and we can like we're talking like friends, and we've known each other for a while.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, man, you were following me from like the beginning.
Yeah, but because also there's like a time discrepancy because of Twitter. You feel like you've aged very lot. It is hard to explain, but in the real world, if you've known somebody for that X amount of time, it wouldn't feel the same because of Twitter. It's something like as if you've known each other longer, you know, like
that
creation factor.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Oh, that's good talk, man. All right, we're going to wrap this one up. Another exciting episode of the Path to Millionaires podcast in the books. Thanks for listening. And go check out Fury's new book, a Fury novel. We're going to have it linked down below. And
Fury attire. Hoo-ah.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Path to Millionaires podcast, be sure to write us a review. That way we can reach more men that are lost and need direction in their life. And if you feel that you are lost and you need direction in your life, or you simply are looking for brotherhood, a sense of belonging, a place where you can be a man, a traditional man, and be around other men who are motivated and working to build something themselves, check out patreon.com/pathtomanliness to gain access to the private Discord server where you can connect with other highly motivated individuals.